Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Eva Edwards.
Hello, Eva, where are you calling from?
Westchester, Los Angeles.
Oh, in Los Angeles. I bet it's very sunny there.
Yes.
I just want you to know, I mean, you really miss something without a lot of rain. You miss that moist feeling that is so strangely comforting. Eva, welcome to the show. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Eva's topic?
Ready on day one.
This week, we've been hearing a lot of talk about people's qualifications for leadership positions or the lack thereof. Well, as it turns out, there's no way to anticipate what skills you really need to lead. We read an amazing story this week about somebody going above and beyond their job description. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories of leaders burnishing their cred in an unusual way. Choose that true story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine.
Great.
All right. First up, let's hear from Tom Beaudet.
Vermont High School Principal Martha Miller's first day in her new job at Burlington Central High did not go exactly as planned. Having recently watched the 70s Robert Redford film Brubaker, in which he portrays a prison warden who enters his new assignment disguised as an inmate, Miller, 28-year-old mother of two, decided to use her youthful appearance to spend a day or two getting to know her students and faculty from the ground floor. A detention, a fat lip, and a 3-day suspension later, she wishes she'd watched Paper Chase instead. Knowing full well her pregnancy stretch marks would give her away in PE, she refused to participate, earning her a warning. Then she received detention for violating the school's no cell phone policy while reporting to the district superintendent. After coming upon a hallway fight between two students, she cast aside her role-playing and stepped in only to receive a punch in the mouth, a teacher's hand around her neck, and a 3-day suspension. "I'll have a lot more empathy for the so-called troublemakers," said Ms. Miller, explaining what this has taught her, "and I'm going to take up smoking in the woods behind the school."
A teacher goes undercover to pretend to be a student, and it doesn't work out that well. Your next story of a leader emerging in a surprising way comes from Paula Poundstone.
Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, dressed in combat fatigues, was with a team of wildlife researchers in the Ussuri Reserve in Russia's Far East when a Siberian tiger escaped its harness and headed towards the television crew. Fortunately, the Prime Minister was armed with a tranquilizer gun and successfully aimed, shot, and sedated the tigress, giving Mr. Putin the serendipitous opportunity to help measure the tiger's teeth and place a satellite tracking device around its neck. Some have suggested that the incident had been set up so that the TV crew could capture the powerful image of the Russian leader shooting a tiger. Only the cynics suggest this. "Who would plan such a thing?" said the Siberian tiger, who appeared to have a $20 bill tucked between his paw pads.
Vladimir Putin rescues a TV crew by shooting a tiger in mid-charge. Your last story of someone proving they've got the right stuff comes from Morocco.
When the West Point rugby squad's bus drove into a ditch in the middle of rural upstate New York, an annoying situation quickly turned perilous. In attempting to lift the bus's back end, star fullback Tank Worthington broke his left arm. Out of cell range and in desperate need of setting the player's broken arm, Captain Leo Margolis took things into his own hands. A part-time confectioner, Cadet Margolis ripped the spigot from the bus bathroom, hammered it into a maple tree to draw sap, mixed the sap with water, boiled it over a fire he built, then mixed the solution with peanut butter scraped from the bus driver's sandwich. He added a few acorns, cooled the mixture, and voila, a peanut brittle splint for Tank's arm. A full recovery is expected.
Okay, then. Let's review your choices. One of these three things happened recently. Was it that, from Tom Beaudet, a high school teacher decided to pretend to be one of her students with somewhat mixed results? From Paula Poundstone, Vladimir Putin, Russian oligarch, bravely shoots a tiger in mid-charge? Or from Mo Rocca, a West Point cadet using his confectionery skills, saves perhaps the arm of a fellow student? Which of these is the real story from the week's news? I feel the same way.
I'm going to choose B.
You're going to choose B. You're going to choose Paul's story of Vladimir Putin shooting a tiger?
Yes.
You think he'd be up to that?
I think he'd like to be.
Yes, all right. So your story then is Paul's. Well, we spoke to somebody who had a little insight into this story.
I'm not certain Vladimir Putin has any training to anesthetize a tiger. And the people that were with him, they weren't even afraid. If there was a loose tiger, don't you think you'd be sweating like a FEMA director watching the Weather Channel?
That was our old friend, Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald, who's a veterinarian and star of the Animal Planet series Emergency Vets, explaining why it really takes a lot of practice to shoot a tiger with a tranquilizer. But nonetheless, that's what they say Vladimir Putin did. Congratulations, Eva. You got it right. You earned a point for Paula. You won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting
on
your home answering machine.
I guess that's the Russians' equivalent of Cheney shooting a lawyer in the
face. Exactly. They one-upped him. Thank you so much for playing with us today, Eva.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.